Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Ayin Aleph. I should have turned on the recorder a minute ago. Okay. Today's daf is Menachos daf Ayin Aleph. We left off on daf Ayin and Beis. We're at the two dots, I believe. V'liktzar lefnei ha'omer, I think. Or maybe the two dots before that.
That one.
V'liktzar lefnei ha'omer. Okay, good. So V'liktzar lefnei ha'omer. So the Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to be kotzer before the omer. Right? There are two separate isurim that are listed in the Mishnah. One is that it's asr b'chadash lefnei ha'pesach, that you're not allowed to eat chadash, the new grains, before Pesach, when you actually bring the carbon omer. And number two, liktzar lefnei ha'omer, you're not allowed to be kotzer, you're not allowed to harvest any of the new grains before the omer. So asks the Gemara, minahani mili, where do we know that this is true from? How do we know this halacha? Amar b'yochanan, asya reishis michala. So we learn reishis from chala, meaning that's how we know that you're not allowed to be kotzer any of the five grains before the omer. That it applies equally to all of the five grains. It's not only that you're not allowed to be kotzer the sa'orim, which is what the carbon omer can be brought from. You're not allowed to be kotzer any of the grains before the carbon omer. So my kodem la'omer, but what does it mean kodem la'omer? What does the Mishnah mean when it says Kodem Omer? Now Rashi understands that this, what we're asking is, Diktani va'asurim b'chadosh l'fnei Omer. We're not going back on the Isser of Ketzira now. Now we're going back and asking on the Isser of eating Chadosh. Remember, two separate Isurim. An Isser of harvesting grain before the Ketzira Omer, and an Isser of eating Chadosh before the Karban Omer is brought. We're asking about the Isser of eating Chadosh, the way Rashi understands it. So my Kodem la'Omer, that it says that it's also chadash from Omer. When are you not allowed to eat chadash before what? What do you mean before the Omer? Before what part of the Omer? Rabbi Yona Amar Kodem Ktsiras HaOmer. That it's before the Ktsiras HaOmer. As Rashi says, Avaliachar Ktsiras HaOmer, Shari Lech Chadash Behera Mizrach. Adds in two important words. After you've done the Ketziras HaOmer, remember we said the Ketziras HaOmer is done at night. The Havas HaOmer is done on the second day. So after the Ketziras HaOmer, then you're already allowed to eat Chadash. After the Ketziras HaOmer, that means at night I'm already allowed to eat Chadash. So Rashi adds in those words, no, not right away. Behera Mizrach. The next morning, you're allowed to eat Chadash. But the point is, you don't have to wait till the Hava'as HaOmer. That once the Ketzira has been done, all you need to wait for is Behera Mizrach. You don't have to wait for the Hava'as HaOmer. That's Rabbi Yono's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Bar Zivda Omer, Kodem Hava'as HaOmer. No, you're not allowed to eat Chadash until you actually do the Hava'as HaOmer, until you actually bring the Karban Omer. Just waiting for Ketzira HaOmer and Behera Mizrach does not suffice. Now, Tosos points out that this is very challenging to add in those words, Heir Mizrach. He says, V'zeu dochak, dekiven de Beheira Mizrach tal yemilsa, lomeli lemintkat kodem ktsira. If the point is that you're allowed to eat chadash when the morning starts on the second day of Pesach, so why does it say kodem ktsira? It should say that Heir Mizrach. So that's very, very difficult to understand the Lashon of the Gemara according to Rashi. Furthermore, the whole the continuation of the Gemara tells us has many problems with according to Rashi. But let's see how the Gemara continues. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Asurin b'chadash lefnei Pesach, v'litzer lefnei Omer, that you're not allowed to eat chadash before Pesach, and you're not allowed to be kotzer before the Omer. So Bishlam al-Mad Yomar Kodem Hava'as HaOmer. So I understand very well if you're going to tell me that I'm not allowed to eat chadash until the Karban Omer is brought. Hainu delo ka'arav lehu v'tani lehu. Now it makes sense why we don't list the Isser of Ketzira and the Isser of Achila as one halacha, because the Isser of Ketzira only goes until the time that your kotzer the Omer, and the Isser of Achila goes all the way until the time that your mevi the Omer. So those are two separate halachas with two separate times that the activities become mutter. So that makes plenty of sense. El mandi amar kodem Ketziras HaOmer, but according to Rabbi Yona, that it's before the Ketziras HaOmer, meaning that you're allowed to eat as soon as the Ketziras HaOmer plus Heir Mizrach is done, so then then it should list both the Isser of Ketzira and the Isser of Achila together. Asurin b'chadash v'liktzar lefnei ha-pesach. It's both asur to eat the chadash and asr to do the ktsira when? Before Pesach. But once Pesach comes, meaning once you do the ktsira sa'omer, so then both of those things become mutter. It's mutter to eat chadash, and it's mutter to do the ktsira. Why does it divide it up into two separate bavos, into two separate statements in our Mishnah? Why doesn't it just list it all together? Ele'i itmar asefa itmar. So if we're going to read this machlokas, we're reading the machlokas on the wrong part of the Mishnah. Yes, there is a machlokas about what is matir. Is it the ktsira or is it the hava? But we're reading, what stage something happens. But the question, the issue at hand is not when you're not allowed to eat chadash until, whether it's until the ktsira or until the hava. That is not what's going on in this machlokas. Rather, im hishrishu kodam la'omer, Omer Matiran. We said that anything that has taken root before the Karban Omer is brought, the Karban Omer is Matir, that grain. So what does it mean, anything that has taken root before the Omer? Does it mean before the Omer is brought, or does it mean before something else? That's the machlokas. My kodem la Omer. What does it mean, kodem la Omer? Something that's taken root before the Omer. On that, Rabbi Yonah Omer kodem hava asa Omer. Rabbi Yonah says it's before the bringing of the Omer, that something could have taken root the second day of Pesach in the morning, as long as I haven't yet brought the tzibur hasn't yet brought the carbon Omer, the Omer is still going to be matirit. Rabbi Yossi says, excuse me, Rabbi Yossi bar Zivda Omer Kodem Ktsiras HaOmer. Rabbi Yossi bar Zivda says, no, if this year's Karban Omer is going to be Matir, the grain that has recently taken root, it has to have taken root before you even cut the barley for this year's Karban Omer. But if it takes root, let's say, the morning of the second day of Pesach before you bring the Karban Omer, but after the Ktsiras HaOmer, which happens on the previous night, then this year's Karban Omer is not going to be Matirit. Such grain is going to be Aser for a full another year until next year's Karban Omer. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi bar Zivda. It's the machlokas is not about how long it's usher to eat the chadash. The machlokas is about what's called hashrasha. When does hashrasha have to happen by? Does it have to take root before the havas haomer, or does it only have to take root before the kitsiras haomer? Amrle Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yoshia de Dares. Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Yoshia of his generation, meaning apparently there were two Rabbi Yoshia, so the Gemara, in order to identify which Rabbi Yoshia he was talking to, it was the one that was alive during his generation, and not the Tana, so no time travel or anything like that. So he says to Rabbi Yoshia, just so that we shouldn't get confused, the Gemara adds in de Dares, you shouldn't think, hey, wait, how's Rabbi Lazar talking to this Tana? So no, it's Rabbi Yoshia de Dares, Rabbi Yoshia, who was his own generation, lo tesev akarech adam farshas le lahamas nisin. He says, don't sit down until you explain to me the following teaching of Tanaim. Minayin la omer shematir ba'ashrasha. How do I know that the omer is matir something that has taken root? Meaning, how do I know that it's anything that's taken root becomes mutter by the Karban Omer? Maybe it's only grain that you've already harvested that the Karban Omer is matir. Maybe it's only grain that's fully grown. Who told you that at such an early stage? Just when it's taken root, as we said yesterday, that could be 3 days after it's planted, already the Karban Omer is going to be matir. It's not even grain yet. There's nothing there. They're just roots. So how do you know that the Omer is matir something at such an early stage? So the Gemara is going to give four suggestions. It's going to reject the first three. Minalan dechsev aviv. Says in Gemara, what do you mean? How do I know? It says aviv. Aviv means ripe. Lav mechal deika de lav aviv. From the fact that it mentions aviv, that implies that there's also some that's lav aviv, meaning from the fact that it says that you're supposed to bring a karban from that which is aviv, sounds like that you would have been able to bring it because it's mutter, even that which is lav aviv. And what's lav aviv? What's not ripe? Something that is just taken root is obviously not ripe. Says the Gemara, wait, there's a lot of stages in between taking root and becoming ripe. Maybe when it's implying that which is lav aviv is also permissible to eat, v'dilma de lav aviv uli olam dayel shlish, maybe it means that it's not fully ripened, but it's grown one third of its growth, so it's at least something. Who told you when it takes root already, the Karban Omer is matirit? So Ella the Gemara has a second suggestion, Omer Shmuel, mehachel charmesh, from the beginning of the cutting, lav mechal deika lav bar chamesh. That implies that even that there's something that's even not ready to be cut, because when it's heavy shlish, it's already ready to be cut. So this already brings us back a step. It tells us that there's something that's not yet hevi shlish. It's not yet a third grown, and the omer is going to be matirit. The lav bar, so answers the Gemara no, but or asks the Gemara no. The dilma the lav bar chamesh liolam shachas. Granted, it doesn't have to be a third grown in order for the omer to be matirit, but maybe it at least has to be shachas. It at least has to be at the stage where it's like animal fodder, where something is grown, not just taking root. Again, how do you know that the omer is matir, that which is at such an early stage that all it's done is it's taken root? So says the Gemara, third possibility, Yom Rabbi Yitzchak, Kama, Mechal, the Lav Bar Kama. Pasuk says Kama, that implies that even that which is not Kama, which is not standing grain, is already going to be mutter by the Karban Omer. So again, the Gemara asks, "V'dilma d'lav bar kama liolam agam." Maybe it doesn't have to be standing grain, but it has to be grown a little bit. Agam, Rashi explains, "Shagadla ma'at lachaf rosho b'tzadi ikur." At least enough grown out that you could bend it over. Something. It has to be something grown out of the ground. Again, how do you know that even b'hashrasha, that even if it just has taken root, that the carbon number is going to be matir? Ella amarava. Final answer: Asher tizra mishazria. It says Asher tizra. So we learn from there that it's Mishazria, from the moment it gets planted. I'm the Republic of Rava, so wait a second, this is even before Ashrasha then. Sounds like Mishazria, the Kormanoma is going to be matter anything that's already been planted. That means even if it hasn't taken root yet, the second you plant it. So I'm like, Sudni, he said, Sudni, listen, Besadaksiv. It says Besada, so Besada implies that it has to at least be taken root in the field. So it's Mishazria once you Rezorea and it's taken root in the field. That is Rava's Shita. What does Sudni mean? So Rashi says, he calls him this name, Sudni. So Rashi says, Talmidei Chachamim is Sudni are Talmidei Chachamim Al Shem Sod Hashem Li Reyav. Similar to the concept based on, it's called Sudni, the etymology of Sudni is from Sod Hashem Li Reyav, like one who receives the secrets, the secret receiver is Sudni, because Hashem tells those who fear him secrets. Good. So that's the first day in Rashi. Rashi has another possibility about some part of the beer that's good for you. Again, either way, he's telling him something nice. He's saying that he's referring to him not by a negative nickname, but by a complimentary nickname, which gets into the whole discussion. One could debate when the Torah says that you're not allowed to be Mechan Hashem L'Chaveiro, what if you call him a really complimentary nickname? Is that also going to be, so that goes back, we once had this discussion, what's the Yisoda Isra being Mechan Hashem L'Chaveiro? Is it an isser of insulting him, or is it an isser of taking away his identity? That a person's shame is how a person identifies himself, and whenever you refer to him as something other than his shame, you are in some way robbing him of his individuality and identity. So the nafkamina would be if it's a complimentary nickname. So it could be that Sudni wasn't a nickname for a particular person. Sudni was just something that we would call Talmidei Chachamim in general. Like, it's not a nickname if I say, listen, my friend, that's not a nickname, I'm calling you my friend, or Talmid Chacham. It's not a nickname, it's just I'm calling you what you are, and what a lot of people are, hopefully. So that's it's not necessarily related to that sugya. Okay, just we mentioned that Michlal de Ika de Lav Aviv, that it implies that there's, right, the implication of the Pasuk is that even that which is not Aviv is Hutar by the Karban Omer. Rashi just points out, very interesting, Rashi says, in regards to Aviv, V'kashar le Omer, Rashi says Aviv means Mevushal Kol Tzarcho. Where is that Rashi? Yeah, the next Rashi. V'kaparach v'dilma d'lav Aviv Shari u'liolim shevi shlish aval tvua shlo vi shlish lo shari lo omer. Aviv Mevushal Kol Tzarcho. Aviv means something which is fully ripened. So the Briska Rav writes that according to this, it turns out that the Minchas HaOmer is different than other Karbanos Mincha, because this Pasuk of Aviv is talking about the Karban Mincha. The Karban Mincha is supposed to be brought from that which is Aviv. That was the Gemara's whole diuk. Oh, the Karban Mincha is brought from that which is Aviv, but it's Matir even that which is not Aviv. Namely, it's Matir that which has just had Ashrasha, that which has just taken root. But the Karban Mincha itself needs to be aviv. So Rashi understands that that means it needs to be mevushal kol sarcha. It needs to be fully ripened. So that luchora makes it different than every other karban mincha. By the mincha sa'omer, we have such a chiddush that it could only be from grain that's mevushal kol sarcha. Pasuk says in takrav mincha bikurim l'Hashem aviv koli be'esh garish karmel takrav es minchas bikurecha. And also what we said before, mitzvah sa'omer, we said before in the Mishnah, mitzvah omer is lavo min hakarov, that you have to bring it from the karov, from that which is close to Yerushalayim. But what did the Mishnah say? Lo biker hakarov liYerushalayim mevim also b'kol makom. If the karov liYerushalayim is not ripened, and zok Rashi, what does it mean it's not ripened? Lo bishel kol tzorcho. It means it's not fully ripened, then you can go to other fields, because the minchas omer has to be from grain that is totally, fully ripened. That's Rashi Shita, and that distinguishes the Minchas HaOmer from every other Karban Mincha. Brisk Rav just points out from the Rambam, Rambam doesn't make this chilek between other Menachos and the Minchas HaOmer. Sounds like the Rambam's chilek on Rashi, and holds that there is no such chilek, that there's no such din, that the Karban Mincha has to be from that which is fully ripened as opposed to other Karbanos that could be brought from that which is not fully ripened. Okay, so that's an interesting hara, just in Shitas Rashi over here, that this is one of the distinguishing characteristics of the Minchas HaOmer. Good, next Mishnah. Kotzer beis hashlach and sheva amakim. You're allowed to, even though we said there's an isser of ktsira, you're not allowed to harvest any new grains before the ktsira sa'omer. Nevertheless, you're allowed to be kotzer from the shlachin fields in the valleys. Rashi writes, why? Because these are fields that can be lost quickly. They can be destroyed easily. So you have to harvest it while the getting is good, while it's still usable. Vo deros hein ve'in isser b'ktsira. And furthermore, Rashi says, they're ra'os, these fields are bad, and therefore there's no isra of ktsira. What does that mean? It's because these fields are bad. So what Rashi means is that since these fields do not produce grain that would be usable for the karban omer, so mele the ktsira is going to be mutter from those fields. The isra of ktsira is a function of the karban omer, that as we said yesterday, the isra of ktsira is really not a shem isra b'fnei atzmo, it's more that the karban omer has to be brought from the first grains that were cut. But if this isn't even something that would be eligible for the karban omer because it's such bad grains, so then anyway there would be no isser of ksira. That's where the heter comes from, to be kotzer the beis hashlachin Sheba Amakim. Now in the Sefer Taras HaKodesh, he quotes that even though Rashi in his second explanation is exactly the Shita of the Gemara, says, why does Rashi have to mention the first explanation, that it could be Bali De Hefsid? Meaning once Rashi is going to quote the reason the Gemara gives, which is the second explanation, so why does he bother with the first explanation? So he writes that it could be that Rashi holds like a Tzad in Tosfos, that only Tevua that's possible to be brought for the Minchas HaOmer would you say that you're allowed to be kotzer. But if you have tevua that only lechatchila you're not supposed to use for the karban omer, but technically is kosher b'di'evit for the karban omer, then such tevua you're not allowed to be kotzer before the ketzira sa'omer. So that's why Rashi adds in his first beer, she'im yishav lo yiktzor es tevua spes hashlachin ad zman ha'omer tesyavish ve'tepsula li'omer. That if you don't cut it, it's going to be totally dried out, and it's going to be totally puzzle for the karban omer. So to address that possible daya in Rishonim, that if it's that only grain which is totally going to be pasul for the karban omer, are you allowed to cut before the ketzira? That's where Rashi adds in that first explanation, that it's going to be completely nifsad, it's going to be completely destroyed. So you're allowed to be kotzer from the beis hashlachin, fine. Aval lo gochin, the Mishnah says, but you're not allowed to pile up the grains of the beis hashlachin, because that there's no great need for. You've already saved it. You've already saved these grains and allow them not to be destroyed, but you should do no further avoda on it. The Shittim Gretza says that Shema mitoch kedei gedisha yavalechol mehem, that the concern is that if you do the gedisha, meaning if the isra is ksira, and I already did the isra, what difference does it make what else I do with it? right? Meaning l'chora, there are two isurim. There's an isur of ktsira and an isur of achila. So you allowed me to do the ktsira. So why can't I do everything else but the achila? Meaning, so what that the ktsira was only allowed in order to save it, and I've already saved it. But there's never an isur on gedisha. So why can't I be godesh? So she didn't get this right. It's not because it's a concern that you're going to violate the next isur, that you're going to violate the isur of achila. If we allow you to be godesh, we're afraid from working with it, you're going to violate the isur of achilas chadash. So Tosus points out that it sounds like the isur of gedisha is l'divrei hakol, but one could have said that the isur of being godish, that you might come to eat it, is really tali in the machlokes tanaim we had an earlier mishnah. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said that chadash badil minei, that when it comes to chadash, a person is used to staying away from chadash, and if a person is used to staying away from chadash, we have no concern that he's going to come to eat chadash. Remember, we distinguished Rabbi Yehuda's shita between chadash and chametz, that when it came to chametz, Rabbi Yehuda was concerned you're going to come to eat it, but not when it came to chadash, because by chadash, you're used to staying away from it. So Tosus points out, l'chora, this should be subject to that same machlokas, where Rabbi Yehuda should allow godish as well. Okay, next line in the Mishnah, next halacha, anshe yiricho, kotzrin baratzon chachamim, v'godshin shalom baratzon chachamim, v'lo michu biyadam. The anshe yiricho were kotzer from the Beis HaShalachin, and the chacham were totally fine with that. They were godish, the chacham were not fine with it, but the chacham didn't think it was worth it to make a macha about it. Kotzer, you're allowed to be kotzer animal fodder when it's at a very early stage of growth, when it's just animal fodder and feed it to your animals. That's allowed before the ktsiras omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, but that's only if it's not one third grown. If it's more than one third grown, then you're not allowed to be kotzer even if your intention is for animal fodder. Rabbi Shimon omer, yiksav yochal af bishevi shlish. Rabbi Shimon says, nah, even if it's a third grown, it's fine. You can still be kotzer for animal fodder. V'kotzer mipnei netios, you're also allowed to be kotzer for the sake of natios, for the sake of saplings that may be ruined by it. So Rashi explains, what does it mean going to be ruined by it? Two possibilities. Either shelo yifsdu l'fishol satvua in ru'ya la'omer, either because it's just the grain is going to ruin the natios, so the natios are at a young stage and they're just going to be destroyed, and the reason it's permitted is because that grain anyway is not ra'ui for the carbon omer, because you're not allowed to bring grain for a carbon omer from a stay ilan, from an orchard of trees. You're only allowed to bring grain from a field that grows grain, not from a place that's a stay ilan. So anyway, you're allowed to cut that grain. Or Rashi says the reason we bring anatios, that you're saving it, is not that it's going to ruin it physically, but it's going to ruin it halachically. It's going to be a problem of klayim. Mm-hmm. So in order to save it from being a problem of klayim, you're allowed to cut for the sake of the natios. The Rambam writes that the reason that there's a heter to do the katsira of the grain benatios is because of the hefsid, like Rashi says over there, you're going to ruin it. Sounds from the Rambam that because of hefsid alone, we allow the isser of Tzira, meaning Rashi always adds in another thing. He says, it's hefsid, plus this isn't really part of the Isra of Ksira in the first place, because it's from a Steilan, whatever. He tries to kvetch out why it's not really part of the Isra anyway. The Rambam sounds like he says, no, it is part of the Isra in the Torah, but for hefsid we allow it. So asks the Chaste David, how do we allow an Isra Daraisa just because of hefsid? Nisa Daraisa, you have to be mafsid all your mama not to violate a Nisa Daraisa. This isn't a Dindra Abban over here. The Yisra of Ksir Samar is Nisa Daraisa. Rashi, got out of it. Rashi said, no, this isn't included in the Yisra Daraisa. According to the Rambam, how do we allow Nisa Daraisa b'makom hefsid? So the Chassid David explains that the Isra of Ktsira, the Isra of being coats or grains before the Ktsira Sa'omer, is only in a Ktsira that's similar to Ktsira Sa'omer. Namely, that it's Tzarech Lagufa. When you do the Ktsira Sa'omer, you're cutting the grain because you need that grain to use for the karban. Only when you're cutting grain for the sake of using the grain is it subject to the Isra of Ktsira. Whenever your main intention in cutting the grain is to save that which is around it, or to save it, but not to use it right now, that is not included in the Isra of Ktsira. It's almost like a Hilchas Shabbos concept, almost like one of those Melachas Machsheves concepts, like a Melach Shein Esricha Legufa, that if you're not using it, if you don't need it to use it right now, so then it's not going to be part of the Isra of Ktsira. Chazon Yecheskel just adds that the same is true when it comes to Peah, that when your coats are litzorach and natiyo or something like that, that's not considered a katsira for a chiyuv of peah. So it's not only a halach over here, and you're also allowed to cut. The Mishnah goes on mipnei besa avel. If you need to make the birchas avelim and you need an area and there's grain growing in that area, you're allowed to cut the grain out of the way so you could do the brachos of the avel. And mipnei bittul besa medrash. If you need a place for people to learn and the only place is this field that has all this grain growing, so you're allowed to cut it in order that people should be able to learn there. The Chassid David just points out the Gemara is going to quote drushas for these, for Beis HaAvel and Beis HaMedrash. So he wonders if his vart was correct, that the Issa Katsira Midaraisa really only applies when you're cutting for the sake of the, using the grain and not for other purposes, that that's the definition of the Issa Katsira, then why do we need special drushas to tell me that you're allowed to cut for the sake of Beis HaAvel and Beis HaMedrash? You shouldn't need a drush, it's just not included in the definition of the Isser. So that's Chassid David says that maybe you would have thought b'makom that when is the Yisr d'oraisa not going to apply, when it's obvious, when anyone looking at you could tell that your intention in cutting is not for the sake of the grain, because there are trees right there, so you're obviously saving the trees. But when you're cutting for base medrash, I don't know what's going through your head when you're just cutting a field. It looks like a regular field like any other, and that's why I need a drusha to be matir in that situation as well. V'lo yasos on krichos of mnichon tzvasim. You shouldn't bundle them up, you can just leave them out unbundled, but you're not allowed to bundle them up when you're cutting them for other purposes. Mitzvah sa'ovmer lavom en akama. The omer is supposed to be brought from standing grain. Lo matzah yavim en ha'omrim. If it's, you're unable to bring from standing grain, you could bring from stalks that are not standing grain. Mitzvah sa'lovim en alach. You're supposed to bring from moist grain. Lo matzah yavi yavesh. If you can't bring from moist, so you bring dry. Remember we said that's why you're supposed to bring from very close to your shlaim, that it's still supposed to be moist. So if you can't though, so then you can go further from your shlaim and it will dry up along the way. Mitzvah seliksar b'layla, the mitzvah is really to be kotzer at night. Niksar b'yom kasher, but if you do the katsira during the daytime, that's also kasher. V'doches ha-shabbos, and this and katsira sa'omer is doch ha-shabbos. Now katsira sa'omer is kasher for a zar to do also. So the klechemda raises a suffix: is this heter of doches ha-shabbos only for kohanim? That kohanim who generally are allowed to do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So for them, Ksiris Omer is Docha Shabbos. But a Yisrael is generally not allowed to do things that are avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he's generally kosher in Ksiris Omer, maybe it's not going to be Docha Shabbos for him. So this issue may relate very much to Rashi in Yevam Islam and Gimel and Beis, where the Achronim are Medayik from Rashi, that even though Shechita is kosher bizar, we paskin that a Zar is allowed to do Shechita, nevertheless, on Shabbos, a Zar should not shecht the Karban Tamid or the Karban Musaf. That the Heter for Shabbos is only for Kohanim, it's not for a Zar. So the Achronim debate why that is. Why is it that the Heter Shechita on Shabbos is only for a Kohen, not for a Zar? Beis Meir writes that since a Zar is not allowed to finish the Avoda, namely do the Zrika, so we don't allow him to do the Shechita on Shabbos either. Whereas the Beis Halevi writes that even though Shechita is Kasher Bazar, but by a Zar it's not a mitzvah, it's not a Chova, it's a Rishus. And therefore we're not going to allow him to do it on Shabbos. So according to the reason of the Beis Meir, that you have to be able to finish the job, so the Chara Zar should not be able to be Kotzer the Omer either on Shabbos, because he can't finish the job of the Korban Mincha, of the Avodas Mincha Omer on Shabbos. That he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to do the rest of it. He's allowed to do the Katsira. Or maybe you could say, no, the Katsira is its own Avoda. It's not connected. It's its own separate mitzvah, and the Zar can finish it, and therefore it's Mutter. Maybe that's what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is, how to define Katsira as part of the larger Omer, or as its own independent entity. Okay, time.
All this cutting that you're doing prior to save the grains or whatever it is, you can't use that cut for the Omer, right?
Well, if you were doing that for the Omer, then that would be your mitzvah of Katsiris Omer, right? Meaning.
In other words, you have to do it with intention. Or if you have it, if you did it.
Yeah, well, some of these things are possible for the Omer. If it, like Rashi pointed out, if you're cutting right near a tree, such grains are possible for the Omer. Right. But theoretically, I mean, if you're doing it for the sake of the Omer, so you're doing it for the sake of the Omer. If it's no, in
I was
the,
just thinking, like, if you cut something like on a Thursday, the Omer was on Shabbos.
Oh, no, no, the mitzvah of Ksira. No, the mitzvah of Ksira is that night. It's got to be,
day,
yeah. Right. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Yamin Omer, Kasvech Omer Ksartim is Ksira Vevesim is Omer. One pasuk says that you harvest it and you bring the carbon Omer. Omer, Uksiv Reshus Ksirchem El Kohen. But on the other hand, it says that the first harvesting should go to the Kohen. Haketzad Makom Shata Mevi Iatakotzer Makom Shiata Mevi Atakotzer. That you're from the place that you're able to bring the Korban Omer, you're not allowed to harvest. From places that you're not allowed to bring the Korban Omer, such places you're allowed to harvest. The Isra of Ketzira is only on places that you could have theoretically brought the Korban Omer from. So, frankly, Mara Ema Mi Min Shata Mevi Atakotzer Min Shiata Mevi Atakotzer. Who says from places? Maybe it's from the min that you're maybe you can be kotzer from. You can not allowed to be kotzer from. And it's from the min that you're not allowed to be maybe the korban omer from that you're allowed to be kotzer from. So ulam atzam it's Rabbi Yochanan. No, because we already learned the drasha yesterday from Rabbi Yochanan that it includes all five minim. The yisur ksir includes all five minim, not only saorin. So that's how I know that it's not mi min. It's got to be mi makom. Anshe yiricha kotzer bratzon cham v'gotzer shalom bratzon cham. So the Mishnah said that the anshe yiricha were kotzer with the approval of the cham. They were godish without the approval of the cham, but the cham didn't make a macha about it. Man shama leidam michu v'lo michu. Who's the one that taught us about this making a macha, not making a macha? That sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda. So frankly, Mar v'sav Rabbi Yehuda k'sir d'anshe yiricha bratzon cham mavai. Wait, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that the cham were okay with the anshe yiricha doing k'tzira? V'atanya, we have a brisa. She should var masu anshe yiricha. There were six things that the anshe yiricha did. Shlosha bratzon chachamim, shlosha shalom bratzon chachamim. Three of them were bratzon cham, three of them were not bratzon cham. Remember, this is a gemara from Pesachim where it also tells us the six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. Three of them were bratzon, three of them were not bratzon. So anyway, six things Anshe Yericho did. Three of them got the approval of the rabbis, three of them didn't. The Elu Shebratzon Chacham, the following got the approval of the rabbis. Markivin Dekalim Kalayom, they grafted trees all day on Erev Pesach. They didn't consider it a malacha chashuva to the extent that it should be also to do it on Erev Pesach. The Korach HaShema, they were Korach Shema. What does it mean to be Korach Shema? So Rashi says over here, even though it's a machlokas in the Gemara Tanaim and Pesachs Pesachim, Mefarish Pesachim Makom Shenagu Shayom Shema Yisrael Vloy Mafsikin Litein Revach Bein Teva LeTeva. They didn't put enough space between the words. So machlokas Tanaim and Pesachs Pesachim, exactly what that means. Rabbi Meir Pesachs Pesachim says they would say Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, and then they wouldn't stop between Echad and Viahafta. They would go straight into Viahafta. Says the Marsha, isn't there something in between Echad and Vihafta? What happened to Baruch Shem Kvod Melech Yisrael Li'olam Ve'ed? So the Marsha says it must be the Rav Meir held that you're not supposed to say Baruch Shem Kvod Melech Yisrael Li'olam Ve'ed. Unbelievable. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva says that's ridiculous. You can't say such a thing. Rav Moshe in Or Chaim Chelek Hei, Simon Hei says that it can't be that Rav Meir wasn't knowing to say Baruch Shem Kvod Melech Yisrael Li'olam Ve'ed. Has to say that you have to say that it's a ta'us that was nofel b'divrei Rashi, and it should say bein Echad LeBaruch, not bein Echad LeVihafta. That's what they weren't. They didn't take a breath between Echad and Baruch, not between Echad and via Hafta. But either way, that's Rameir Shita. It's between the Echad and the next line, whatever that may be. Rabbi Yehuda, however, holds that they were mafsik, but they didn't say Baruch Shem Kol Machzol Yolam Ve'ed. That was their problem. They were Korech, means they skipped Baruch Shem Kol Machzol Yolam Ve'ed. So, and some say that, no, not that they didn't say it, but he meant that they said it B'kol Ram. So they said it inappropriately. So either way, that's Korech and Shema. They did something wrong when they said Shema. V'kotzer l'fnei Omer Baratzon Chachamim, and they were kotzer before the Omer, and that was Baratzon Chachamim. Ve'elu Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. The following were things that they did Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. Gosh l'fnei Omer, they would pile up the grains that they cut before the Omer, umatir and gimzio shal hegdish shal char v'shal shikma, and they were matir the barks of certain trees of hegdish, uparts and pirtos begagosein ubepardesosein lach and neshalanim b'shnei b'tzores b'shabas b'yom tovim divrei meir, and they would make pirtos in the fences that protected their gardens and their orchards, so that the aniim could take during years of famine. And Shabbos and Yontif. That is Rabbi Meir Shita. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to them, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im baratzon chacham hein osin you kol adam osin kein. If all those things were baratzon chachamim, why doesn't everybody do those things? I mean, if it's baratzon chachamim, the rabbis are okay with it, everyone should do it. Ela elu ve'elu shalom baratzon chachamim. So rather, everything on your list was really shalom baratzon chachamim. Again, what's our main point over here? What are we trying to do? We're trying to show that Rabbi Yehuda holds that which the Anshe Yericho did was shalom baratzon chachamim. That which they were kotzer l'fnei Omer was shalom baratzon chachamim. And the problem is that we suggest that our Mishnah says that it was baratzon chachamim is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're raising that kasha that it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no, all of it was shalom baratzon chachamim against what our Mishnah says. Three of them the chachamim decided to make a macha. Three of them they decided not to make a macha. These are the ones they didn't make a macha. Markivin the That they didn't make a macha. And the following things they did make a macha. Matir and gamzio shall hegdish shall charev shall shikma. Uparts in pirtzos begagosayim parts same. Kedelach l'neshal anim shebetzos pshivos b'yam tovim. And one more that we didn't mention before. V'nosim peah liyerek. And they gave peah from vegetable fields as well, from vegetable gardens as well. Even though vegetable gardens are not chayiv in peah, they gave peah from that. The rabbis were really unhappy about that. They made a macha about that because they are robbing it from meiser. They're taking away the status of meisos, which you should have to give from the vegetables. Those rabbis were so unhappy about, they decided they weren't going to bite their lips. They were going to say something about it. They made a macha about that. But bottom line is, this is a big fat question, right? Because now we said originally that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that when they were kotzer lefnei the Omer, that was beratzon chachamim. But over here we learned that Rabbi Yehuda disapproved of all six, and now he made it seven activities. All seven activities the chacham disapproved of. It's just a question of what they're willing to speak up about. So he says, ultamech shisha shiva havu. But wait a second, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not six, it's seven, because Rabbi Yehuda added his own. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda adds that Nosim Peli Yerek, he must take off Ktsira from the list. That Ktsira is not one of the things that are on the list of Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. And therefore, Taka turns out that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Ktsira Lefnei the Omer was something the rabbis approved of. The rabbis disapproved of six things, but Ktsira Lefnei Omer wasn't one of them. In taking its place on the list was Nosim Peli Yerek. So that's what he disapproved of. So that's how it all works out. Fine. Kotzer l'shachas amach l'beim. And the Mishnah said that you're allowed to be kotzer for shachas, for animal fodder, and feed it to the animals before the Omer. So it's not awesome. We learned the Mishnah. Ve'ilu mafsikim l'peah. When it comes to a field, each field you own, you chayv to leave off a corner for peah. But how do you define what's one field and what's two fields? Let's say I have two fields that are right next to each other. Isn't it just one big field then? So what makes something, what are natural boundaries that would divide something into two fields? So a nachal, a brook that goes between the two fields, vashululis, or a place where the rainwater drains out, a drain for rainwater, v'derech hayachid, v'derech harab, a path, a private path where that's four amos wide, or a path that's much wider, that's 16 amos wide, v'shvil harabim, v'shvil hayachid, or a path of a yachid, or a path of a rabim, hakavua b'mos hacham, b'mos hagesham, that's there both in winter time and summertime, v'abor v'hanir v'zera acher, or if you have a bar between the two fields, or if you have plowed ground between the two fields, or you have some other item planted in between the two fields, v'kotzer l'shachas, or if you have an area that's been harvested for animal fodder, so mafsik. All those things are mafsik between two fields. Divra Meir, that's Rameir's opinion. The chamra main mafsik elim kin charash. And Rameir says that it's only mafsik unless you it's not mafsik unless you plowed it. That the chum say that if you kotzer l'shachas, if you harvest for animal fodder, it's not going to be mafsik between two fields unless you also were choresh that place where the animal fodder has been pulled up from. You need to replow it in order for it to be a proper hefsik between the two fields. That's the machlokes Rav Meir l'Chacham, just on that last nekuda about kotzer l'shachas, something that's been harvested for animal fodder, is that alone enough to divide the two fields, or do you also then need to replow it in order for it to be a proper division between the two fields? Now what the Gemara is going to say is, we're going to try to find Rav Meir's shita, that being kotzer l'shachas is enough to divide between the two fields. We're going to try to match it up with different shitos in our Mishnah. We're going to have three tries. Amar Rabbi Barbar Chanam Rabbi Yochanan. Rameir, Beshitas Rabbi Shimon Amra. Rameir, when he says just being harvesting for the sake of animal fodder is enough to divide two fields, the Gabe Peya, assumes like Rabbi Shimon, Damar Yix Rabbi Yachel Af Mishiv Yashlish, who holds that even stuff that's more than a third grown, you're allowed to be kotzer for animal fodder. So you see that we hold that animal fodder is like a totally different Bria, it's like a totally different entity, and just like it could be mafsik between two fields for Peya, it's also that you're allowed to be kotzer before the Omer. Alma Kasavar Kola Shachas Lav Ketzirahi. It's Pasha not called Ketzirah. It's not part of the Ketzirah of that field. So that's how Rav Meir lines up with Rabbi Shimon. It's all if you plan on using it for animal fodder, it's a different thing. Yosef Rabbah Vakamil Allah Shemaita. So Rabbah was saying this over. Eser Rach Barhuna L'Rava Ach L'Chagav Karsum Namalim Shavartu Aruach. If let's say insects ate up this row of the field, or the wind broke it, hakol modim charash mafsik lo charashenu mafsik. Then everyone is moda that only if you plow it, it's mafsik. If you replow it after the insects ate it up, only then is it mafsik between the two fields. Hakol modim man. What does it mean? Hakol modim. Who's everybody? Meaning even Rabbi Meir. Even Rabbi Meir holds that when you harvested for animal fodder, that it's going to be mafsik, even if you don't replow it. We'll agree that if the animals came and ate it on their own, then it's only going to be mafsik if you do replow it. So if you say that our Mishnah is talking about when it's not yet one third grown, so the Brisa that says that only if it was plowed is talking about if it was a third grown. But if you say the Mishnah was also talking about where it's one third grown, I don't understand. Why would Rameir say that if you harvested for animal fodder, that's not called harvesting, but if that's not called harvesting, but if animals harvested themselves, that is called harvesting? That makes no sense. It's backwards. So Rameir doesn't really seem to line up with Rabbi Shimon. Ella Rameir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir really lines up with Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Amos I b'zman shehiskel ad shelo hevi shlish. That when are you allowed to harvest before the Ksiris Omer? Only when it's less than one third grown. Avlam hiskel ad shevi shlish aser. But once it's more than one third grown, it's aser. That's what Rameir is talking about. When it's less than one third grown, that's when we assume it's not considered Ksira. Okay, we'll get to the third Tana that we try to line him up with tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. Okay, let's start.